So I'm absolutely delighted to be joined on the line by Karen Casey, who some of you will know as an Irish folk singer and former member of the Irish band Solace. Karen, how are you today?
Good, Orla. Great. Enjoying the sun.
Isn't it absolutely stunningly beautiful? Thank goodness for it.
Fantastic.
So listen, thank you for taking the time. I know you're busy at the moment, but I'm really interested in this new project that you have in conjunction with the Everyman. So I wonder if you just maybe just tell the listeners a little bit about the show. The show is called The Women We Will Rise, and it's all part of Cork Folk Festival. So we might talk about the show first, and then we'll talk a little bit about Cork Folk Festival, if that's okay.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, really, it's kind of you know, a labour of love. I'm very passionate about singing women's stories. And, well, really what happened was in 2016, I was invited up to Doon in Limerick, where my great-grandparents are from. And there was a plaque being put up to Paddy Ryan of the hotel, as he's called, who's my great-grandfather. And he's been honoured for, he was in the IRB and he was on hunger strike in Wormwood Scrubs. And actually in Cork as well, I've since found out. And I also began, you know, we as a family, we were just, I suppose, honouring them and talking about Agnes, his wife, who was an amazing woman. And I became a bit obsessed trying to find out what Agnes's wife life would have been like. She had 12 children. And she ran kind of a pub when he was on the run. And I just found out last year that she got a service medal for coming them on. And I'd known none of this. And so I just thought, I was very moved by you know, what she had done in her past. And also by the fact that none of us really knew a lot more about her. So I started researching other women. And I came across Kathleen Clark, obviously the Countess Margaret, who we all know about, but then other women as well, like Julia Grennan and Elizabeth O'Farrell or Winifred Mabel Letts. So, yeah, I'm obsessed now about these women and how extraordinary they were in an extraordinary time, I suppose, in Irish history.
Yeah, and like it is often the way that the men were, you know, lauded for all of their achievements, but the women were as passionate. And like you said, this woman, you know, Agnes, had 12 children as well to look after.
Yeah.
And she was running
exactly
a pub. You know, it's like the whole Ginger Rogers thing, you know, she did it backwards in heels, you know. And this is what I'm so fascinated about this project, because I think that there is a huge amount that can be done for the women of this time in, as you said, an extraordinary time, just to tell their stories. And this is what you're doing, which is wonderful.
Yeah, and I just try to drop down, you know, kind of drop myself down into the centre of their lives and just try and see what they would have been doing. And also, I was really, really impressed and I think motivated myself by their perseverance. You know, they kept going, you know, even in 1923, Kevin O'Higgins really tried to push the women back into the home. He closed down the Republican courts, similarly with Cosgrave. So, you know, it took until 1979 before Moira Gagan Quinn was elected as the next female minister after the Countess.
And that's a startling figure, isn't it? That it was 50 years, you know, after the Countess, before we had our first minister in the Dáil.
Yes, yes. And I suppose, you know, it's trying to, you know, it's pretty hopeful. The songs are quite defiant, but also hopeful. And I'm trying to kind of say, like, I suppose if we keep going, we'll get there.
Exactly, exactly. But when you were choosing the songs for this show now, how did you have the process that you were linking certain songs to certain women, or did they sort of come to you over time?
Well, I'd love to say, you know, that I had it all planned out and, you know, I have a whole process that, you know, works. But in essence, I kind of read a lot around it. I loved the Military History Bureau, the Bureau of Military History, where they have testimonies from some of the women, and they're just extraordinary, as are the men, in fairness, and they sort of sing themselves off the pages. And, you know, there was a testimony from Madge Daly, who was Kathleen Clark's sister, and also from Helena Maloney. And then, I suppose as well, being an artist myself, Helena Maloney was an actress, and Kathleen Clark herself was actually a piano player, but her family didn't want her to be a piano player because they said she wouldn't make any money. And so they wanted her to run the family business, the bakery in Limerick City. And so she said, no way, I'm not doing that. I'm setting up my own business. And she's a seamstress. And she did really, really well and made a lot of money. And then, of course, she fell in love with Tom Clark, the first president of the Republic. And he, of course, was really poor. And he was just out of jail. And he's 20 years older than her. So her family was like, oh, well, I don't think so now. And so she kind of defied them and said, no, actually, I love him. So I'm going to marry him. And she headed off to America after him. So just all the, you know, even that, like even to try and get that and the richness of that into like a song. I mean, in many ways, many of them, they all need a you know, a set of songs or a suite of songs. I'd love, like, if people around the country could take, you know, a woman in that they know or in their area or village and write a song about them, you know, and because it is possible, of course, to, I think this happens a lot in traditional songs, 50 years on or 100 years on, we write a lot of commemorative songs. So it is, I suppose it's that as well, it is that notion of writing them back into the history, or writing them into the history, because in a way they were never written in there in the first place.
Exactly. And you know, you talk about Kathleen and how she was headstrong and she defied her parents. We're talking a completely different Ireland back then as well. So, you know, now women sort of wouldn't realise how much, how difficult it would have been to stand up to your family as a woman if they have a path lined out for you, that they want you to do a certain thing. And like you said, these women, you know, they knew their own minds and they stood up for themselves.
Yeah, and you're right, you know, they were reliant on their families for money. You know, even Countess Markovic, very sadly, at the end of her life, was writing to the family to try and get money. And Kathleen Clark did have family support, but, you know, a lot of her life, she was very poor. And my own great-grandmother, they lost, you know, they didn't lose everything, but they were essentially put out of business for 3 or 4 years, and they wrote a very sad letter to the White Cross, which was a fund set up after the War of Independence to try and help families, particularly families who'd lost, well, loved ones and their livelihoods after the Black and Tans. And, you know, it's extraordinary how they did rebuild their lives and they did keep going, and how much they gave, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. And like you're saying, you know, the narrative of their lives was never really recorded because maybe at the time it was felt that it wasn't important enough. But you're doing that now, and I really admire that. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful way of commemorating them and to say that, yes, they had a really important part in this part of our history.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And so if I was going to go along now to the show, what exactly could I expect to see on stage?
Well, I'm joined by Niamh Dunn, who's an amazing flute player and a beautiful singer, and John O'Graham, who plays guitar beautifully, sings a little bit and plays a lot of effects. And so we'll be doing the songs together. There's six songs, new songs about the different women, and then we're trying to also push into kind of the present tense and possibly the future with a couple of more contemporary songs. And then I'm narrating, or, well, this is with quotation marks around it, acting, some of the parts of those women. I'm really just trying to give a picture, a small vignette, you know, of some aspect or element of their lives. The Countess, like, was in jail in Cork from June 18th until June 14th until October, the 18th of October in 1919, and she wrote extraordinary letters out to people, and one of, you know, it was amazing that people brought her in 3 meals a day. They grew tomatoes for her. The Cork band, the Pipers band, they came up to her window as close as they could, because they put kind of barbed wire beneath her window, and they played for her in the jail. And so her letters are kind of astonishing. You know, she was also gardening when she was in there, and teaching everybody how to grow things as well as sing songs.
And being in prison, prison is daunting, you know, and like the strength of her character to write these incredible letters, and how, again, how people reacted to her, and the fact that she was still teaching people and showing people and giving people her time is just, it really is incredible. And I suppose it's the measure of the woman. And I think it sounds like a fantastic evening entertainment.
Thank you.
Yeah, it sounds brilliant. And like the Everyman, of course, is a fantastic theatre as well. It's a lovely theatre, and you know,
and there'll also be some footage, some video, kind of more abstract, and you know, scenes from the past that Niall Valley has put together, and some sort of incidental music as well. So, you know, there's a lot kind of going on.
There is a lot going on. And you have a great love of folk music, of course. You're of this parish. We'd like to claim you a little bit from Ballyduff. Ballyduff Upper, that's what we're saying. We're claiming you of this parish, you know, because we here in CRY, we do sort of broadcast all around that area as well. So, you know, you have a lifelong love of folk music. And the Cork Folk Festival, of course, is promoting this, isn't it? That's what we're trying to get it out
there.
Yeah,
and I mean, they're fantastic. This is their 43rd year, you know, and they really are brilliant and committed to folk music. And it's not easy to keep it going, you know, every year, you know, making it different, attracting crowds. And so, you know, if I could persuade people at all to go into Cork at the weekend, not just for this, my show, but like for everything, there's some great music happening there.
There is indeed. And your show in particular, though, is running from Wednesday the 27th to Saturday the 30th of September. And the preview for that is the Wednesday, but the opening night is Thursday. And you're having a post-show talk there as well.
Yeah, as if I don't have enough to be doing.
I know. I was like, why are you drawing that on yourself now, Karen? But, you know, I've been to those talks. I've been in it's a lovely little bar in the Everyman. Is that where you'll have your post show talk? That's usually where they go. Yeah.
Yeah, and I've been there before, like Conal Creedon sometimes interviews people after a show. It's really interesting. You know, it's kind of very gentle wind down, and you kind of get, I suppose, hints of, or the backstory maybe of, you know, why people wrote or did what they did.
And I think if you do like, you know, going to the theatre for any reason, which I love the theatre myself, and it's so interesting to see the artists afterwards when they're not on stage, because, you know, everybody has their persona when they're on stage. It's really nice for you to give your time as Karen, you know, just yourself to explain to people. So that one, if you're going to the opening night, stick around for the post-show talk afterwards, because it'll be fantastic. Tickets are so reasonable for this. It's €11, and the running time, it's about 75 minutes or so, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Super.
Yeah, that's it.
So listen, Karen, I'm wishing you all the best. Do you think that after this, I know this is always a strange question to ask somebody who's doing something like this, would you do this again? Is there more people that you wish you could have put into the show that you didn't get chance to?
Oh, yeah, I would. I'd love to, you know, I really would. There's loads of people I didn't get in and would love to do it. Maybe it can be like an ongoing thing. Oh, Jesus, here, look, I better just get through the
The first one.
Through September.
Yeah. And, but you know, I'm hoping that you'll talk yourself into that, that you'll keep going an ongoing project, because it would be absolutely wonderful to have. But it has been my pleasure speaking with you today, Karen, and thank you so much for giving up your time. And it's going to be a great show. So best of luck with the run of it.
Thanks a million.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
And
my huge thanks there to Karen Casey on that fabulous interview regarding her upcoming show. And we're going to just play this song here now from Karen. This is called Down in the Glen.
Put all the stars out there for to dream.